Today's words of wisdom, Children's Health and Sustainable Planet Jeju International Conference, will be presented in Korean and English, with subtitles in Arabic, Alexis or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Thai, Turkish, Urdu, and Spanish.
Jeju도는 대한민국에서 가장 큰 섬으로 아름다운 자연경관을 갖는 축복을 받았습니다. 신선한 공기와 맑은 물, 청정한 바다, 다양한 크기의 화산은 이러한 자연경관의 아름다움을 더해줍니다. 제주의 아름다운 자연환경 중 일부는 유네스코 세계자연유산으로 등재되었습니다. 등재된 유산으로는 한라산 국립공원, 성산 일출봉, 그리고 검은얼음 용암 동굴계가 있습니다.
또한 한라산은 그 아름다움과 생물종 다양성으로 2002년부터 유네스코 생물권 보전지역으로 보호되었으며 360개의 기생화산인 오름을 품고 있습니다. 제주도는 천혜의 자연유산뿐 아니라 이를 지키기 위한 노력으로도 유명합니다. 사실상 제주도민들의 가슴은 제주도와 하나가 되어 고동치고 있습니다.
귀중한 자연환경을 보존하여 미래 세대를 위한 유산으로 남기는 것은 제주도민에게 있어 가장 중요한 관심사입니다. 우리는 자연과 함께 살아가면서 우리의 아름다운 환경을 보존하기 위해서 최선을 다할 것입니다. 우리는 선조들의 지혜로운 생활 방식을 따르며 녹색 소비를 실천할 것입니다.
우리의 문화유산과 우리의 공동체적인 삶을 잘 보존해 나갈 겁니다. 우리는 지속가능한 발전을 위해 친환경적이고 생태적 활동을 지원해 나갈 겁니다. 우리는 환경보호와 세계 평화를 위해 적극적으로 참여할 겁니다.
2009년 9월 21일 제주도의 49개 시민단체가 공동으로 아이건강과 지속가능 지구촌 제주국제컨퍼런스를 공동 주최하여 사회적으로 가장 중요한 두 가지 주제에 대해서 논의했습니다. 바로 아이들의 건강과 기후변화입니다. 유기농 비건에 초점을 맞춘 이 특별한 행사는 행성의 온도를 낮추고 또한 어린이들의 영양을 개선하는 해결책으로 유기농 비건을 제시했습니다.
이 컨퍼런스에 참석한 정부의 중요한 인사들로는 김태환 제주특별자치도지사, 양성원 제주특별자치도 교육감 등이 있습니다. 그리고 여기 참석한 환경 전문가로는 유엔 정부 간 기후변화위원회 의장인 라젠드라 파차우리 박사, 그리고 네덜란드 환경평가국의 기후와 지구촌 지속가능성 부서의 주프 오데 로휘스 부장이 있습니다.
또한 의학계를 이끄는 저명한 의사들도 전문 지식을 함께 나누었습니다. 여기엔 미국 휴메인 소사이어티 보건축산 책임자인 마이클 그레거 박사, 권위 있는 내과 의사이자 영양학 전문가인 조엘 펄먼 박사, 책임 있는 의료를 위한 의사회 창립자이자 회장인 닐 보라드 박사, 미국에서 유명한 맥두걸 프로그램의 창립자이자 의학부문 원장인 존 맥두걸 박사, 한국의 저명한 신경외과 전문의인 대구의료원 황성수 박사 등이 포함됩니다.
또한 많은 언론사들이 이 행사를 취재했습니다. MBC, KBS, CBS, 아리랑 라디오 등의 방송사와 한국일보, 한겨레신문, 연합뉴스, 제주일보 등의 신문들과 미디어 제주, 제주소리 등의 인터넷 뉴스 미디어에서도 이 행사를 보도했습니다. 이 행사의 귀빈으로 화상회의를 통한 참석을 초청받으신 칭하이 무상사께서는 너그럽게 초대를 수락하셨습니다.
이제 칭하이 무상사와의 화상회의 8부작 중 제3부 재방송에 여러분을 초대합니다. 화상회의 제목은 아이 건강과 지속가능 지구촌 제주국제컨퍼런스로 2009년 9월 21일 대한민국 제주도에서 개최되었습니다.
we have our next speaker, Mr. Lee Chang-hong, who is the director of the EM Environment Center here in Jeju. He's also a pioneer in organic farming. Let's give him a warm welcome to Mr. Lee.
Ne, 안녕하십니까. EM 환경센터 이창홍입니다. 농업은 자연 환경을 변화시켜 식량을 생산합니다. 고대 문명 시기의 농업은 비옥한 삼각주의 토지에서 수탈 농업의 형식으로 행해졌습니다. 생산된 식량은 농촌에서 도시로 가져갔으나 되돌아오는 것은 없었습니다. 그로 인해 양분을 빼앗긴 토지는 사막화되고 도시는 쓰레기로 문제였습니다. 이에 토지에 무언가를 되돌려 주어야 된다는 발상으로 화학비료가 생겼습니다. 하지만 화학비료의 사용으로 토지는 산성화 같은 일종의 성인병에 걸려 병해충이 많아졌습니다. 그래서 농약이 발달하여 자연 생태계의 파괴는 더욱 가속되었습니다. 그리고 안전성도 문제가 되었습니다. 현재 그 대안으로 친환경 농업이 대두되었지만 고위험 저수학으로 한계가 있습니다. 오늘의 주제는 위의 농업 방식들을 극복하기 위한 대안, 즉 자원순환형 친환경 농업입니다. 이는 자연생태계의 순환 원리를 따르는 농업입니다. 자연생태계는 복잡한 생물들의 관계를 통해 물질들이 순환됩니다. 예를 들어 비에 의해 산에서 씻겨져 내려온 양분은 여러 생물들의 상호관계에 의해 산 정상으로 되돌아갑니다. 즉 생태계는 자원을 낮은 곳에서 높은 곳으로 다시 옮깁니다. 이렇듯 농업도 토지에서 가져간 자원이 다시 되돌아가야 그 생산성이 유지되고 농업과 관련된 생태계도 복원됩니다. 이러한 자원순환에 있어서 미생물은 동물의 변, 시체, 식물의 잔사, 암석 등 다양한 자원을 생물과 연결시킵니다. 즉, 생태계의 자원순환에 있어서 촉매 역할을 합니다. 첫째, 유기물이 무기물로 변하는 것을 막고 생물들이 재이용하게 합니다. 둘째로 생태계 내의 유해한 생분들을 중화 또는 발생을 억제해 각종 자원들이 생물이 먹이로서 원활히 이용되게 합니다. 셋째로 동식물에게 유해한 병원균들의 증식을 억제하여 생태계의 건강을 유지 증진시킵니다. 예로서 갯벌, 습직, 극지방 등의 생태계에서 미생물들은 다양한 생물들이 서식할 수 있는 환경을 형성합니다. 이러한 역할은 자연계의 모든 생태계에서 항상 이루어져 왔으나 인간이 유해 물질을 사용하기에 농토 및 도시 환경에서 재구실을 하지 못하고 있습니다. 이것이 환경 문제의 근본이기도 합니다. 따라서 현재 환경 문제를 해결하는 과학적 방법론인 환경공학도 크게 변해야 합니다. 이러한 자연 생태계와 미생물의 역할을 이해하면서 친환경인 친환경 농업에 대한 새로운 패러다임을 제시하고자 합니다. 기존의 친환경 농업은 유해한 물질을 단지 사용하지 않는 수세적 관점을 갖고 있습니다. 화학비료 대신에 천연의 퇴비, 화학농약 대신에 천연의 농약을 사용하자고 합니다. 화학 대신 천연이라는 말을 사용할 뿐 구조적으로 기존 화학농업과 동일합니다. 하지만 새로운 자원순환형 친환경 농업은 생태계의 원리를 이해하여 생태계를 적극적으로 복원하자는 관점입니다. 정균작용이 일어나 병충해가 오더라도 증가하지 못하는 농업환경, 원래의 자연생태계의 상태로 되돌리는 것을 목표로 합니다. 그리고 농약과 비료가 분리되지 않고 농업환경과 농작물은 하나의 생태계 속에서 상호발전을 이룹니다. 자원순환형 친환경 농업은 저비용과 노동력이 절감으로 하면 할수록 생산성이 높아집니다. 즉, 농업 환경을 건강한 생태계로 만들면 병충해는 문제를 일으키지 못합니다. 또한 각종 유기 폐자원을 숙성형 발효를 통해 유해 물질들이 없어지고 커다란 유기물들을 식물에 흡수되기 쉬운 작은 형태로 만들어 이용하면 다수화학도 가능합니다. 일반적으로 다수화학 품종은 건강하지 못하고 건강한 품종은 수확량이 떨어집니다. 그리고 병충해는 생태계의 약화와 미네랄의 불균형 및 부족에 의해 이루어집니다. 하지만 다수화과 작물의 건강성을 동시에 이룰 수 있습니다. 예를 들어 화학비료를 주면 무기태의 질소를 유기태의 아미노산으로 만들기 위해 인과 칼륨 같은 미네랄과 당분이 다량으로 소비됩니다. 그렇지만 아미노산을 작물이 직접 흡수하면 미네랄의 소비가 적어지고 당분은 축적됩니다. 따라서 미네랄의 부족 현상이 일어나지 않아 작물은 건강하게 되고 당분과 에너지가 축적되어 다수화하기 가능해집니다. 이러한 현상은 새로운 것이 아니라 원래 자연스러운 것입니다. 자원순환형 친환경 농업은 자연과 인류의 공생을 목적으로 하는 것으로서 보이지 않는 미생물의 생태계의 역할을 올바르게 이해하는 데서 출발해야 합니다. 이를 통해 충분한 먹거리 생산으로 인류의 기아 문제를 해결하고 안전한 농산물의 생산과 보급으로 생산자와 소비자의 건강을 증진시킵니다. 궁극적으로 생태계 내의 순환체계를 회복함으로써 환경오염 문제의 완전한 해결책을 제시하는 것입니다. 감사합니다.
감사합니다. Thank you for your courageous and loving work, Mr. Lee.
We need many more farmers like you who grow delicious and nutritious organic food for the benefit of the world. We now know that organic vegan diet is the only way to halt climate change. But sometimes we parents are concerned about whether a vegan diet will keep our children healthy.
To respond to these concerns, three world-renowned medical doctors have sent their valuable messages to this conference.
The first is from Dr. John McDougall, a pioneering medical doctor, best-selling author, and the esteemed founder of the McDougall Program. Dr. McDougall has helped thousands of people to overcome heart disease and other critical illnesses, all without medicine. Let's hear his message for our conference.
I want to thank you for the invitation and the opportunity to talk about something really important, and that's children's health and children's diets. There is a diet that is correct for people. Human history probably tells that diet best. If you think about it, all large populations of successful people throughout all of recordable history have consumed diets based on starch. For example, in my part of the world, the diet of people several hundred or a thousand years ago was a diet based primarily on corn. You remember the diet of Aztecs and Mayans? These were the people of the corn. And in South America, it was potatoes. In the Andes, people lived on potatoes. That's what the Incas consumed. And if you look further east, what you find is people in Europe and in the Middle East, they lived on diets of grain. Barley, wheat, other types of grain were the foods of these people. And then go far east to where you live, and what has the diet of people been traditionally for thousands of years? It's been a diet primarily based on rice, or sometimes buckwheat, or sweet potatoes. Starch-based diets, that's what the human diet is. It's a diet based on starch with the addition of fruits and vegetables. The animal foods that come into the diet, they're tolerated, but not necessary. The best diet for kids and adults, that's a diet based on starch with the addition of fruits and vegetables. It does not include animal products. I can't think of a reason to add dairy products, cow's milk, cheese, to the diet of a person who wants to be healthy, trim, and active. I can't think of a single reason to add any kind of animal food in terms of meat, like beef or pork or chicken or fish. It adds nothing to the diet that you can't get better from starches, vegetables, or fruits. That's what the science says. That's what your experiences tell you. And that's what you see when you look back historically. We've gotten away from that, and that's because of business. But we can change back, and we can do it for ourselves as well as for our children. Our children need a good start in life. So what I would encourage you to do, all of you listening, is to find out what the truth is and take action. Yeah, these are the most important people in our lives, these little kids are. But they deserve our efforts to make sure we're doing the right thing, particularly when it comes to diet. And you will discover, if you take the trouble, that the right diet for kids is a starch-based diet with fruits and vegetables. And they'll like it too. They already like these foods. They like simple foods, starch foods, they're comfort foods. So let's make it a worldwide effort to to make changes that are important for everybody. Thank you for this opportunity. Be veg, go green, and save the planet.
Thank you, Dr. McDougall, for your time and dedication for public health.
Our next distinguished speaker is Dr. Neil Bernard, the founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, or PCRM, president of the Cancer Project and the Washington Center for Clinical Research, and an adjunct associate professor of medicine at George Washington University, USA. He is also a vegan. Let's now hear his specially prepared message.
I want to say a big warm welcome to all the participants in today's conference. Children today have the advantage of having more foods available than ever before. We know more about nutrition than ever before. But unfortunately, sometimes what children actually eat is not as healthful as it should be. And that's because there are also more unhealthy foods available than ever before. So we need to really help them. So what to eat and what to avoid? The foods that are healthful for children, I think of them as being in four groups. We refer to these as the new four food groups: vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and the bean group, or you might call it the legume group, beans, peas, and lentils. These four groups together provide plenty of protein. They provide plenty of calcium and iron. They are very rich in vitamins and in minerals and lots of healthy fiber. They don't have any animal fat. They don't have cholesterol. They are a good recipe for good health. The most important thing, though, for children is not just to eat foods that keep them healthy while they're children, but it's to learn good health habits, good eating habits that they can carry with them into adulthood. If children learn healthy eating right from the start, they carry a wonderful gift with them, and they're better able to take care of their own families when they're adults. Well, I have to say, some of the very foods that I grew up with are perhaps the most important things to set aside. Meats, dairy products, eggs. These foods have cholesterol, they have animal fat, and these foods cause a lot of problems. First of all, these foods are linked to heart problems. If you could look inside the arteries of a typical American boy or girl, before they finished high school, many of them have the beginnings of heart disease already. They're only 15 or 16 years of age, but because of all the meat, cheese, other dairy products and eggs they've been eating, unfortunately, their arteries are starting to get clogged. Over the long run, though, these same foods increase the risk of cancer, particularly breast cancer, prostate cancer, and colon cancer. These things are much less likely to happen on people who are following totally plant-based diets. And what has the children themselves worried and their parents worried is that kids who eat a meaty diet tend to be heavier than other kids. Now, many well-meaning parents will say, "We want our children to drink milk or eat meat." What they're thinking of is maybe this will help their kids to grow taller or to be stronger. But I have to say, researchers have looked at this very question. And the children who eat meat and dairy products are not any taller than other kids. What they are is wider than other kids, meaning they are more likely to be overweight. Researchers have looked at thousands of children and shown that those children who grow up on a totally vegan diet, meaning a diet with no animal products at all, they're just as tall and healthy as other kids. In fact, they are healthier, but they're more likely to stay in a good, healthy body weight. In many countries throughout North America, South America, and particularly today throughout Asia, we are seeing an explosion in meat intake, in dairy consumption, and so that means more and more farms are springing up, and the population overall is less healthy than it was when more healthful plant-based diets were the norm. If this trend continues, what we will see is not only more influenza outbreaks, we'll see more heart disease, much more cancer, and shorter lifespans. What this means really is a tragedy that people who wanted to live a long, healthy life and to bring up their children to be able to live in as healthful a way as possible will never be able to realize that dream. And it's because we bought into foods that have lurking in them cholesterol, animal fat, and other problems that really can exact a terrible price that nobody was counting on in advance. Let me also say a word for parents, teachers, other people who are involved in schools. Schools have sometimes had trouble really serving the most healthful foods. Many of them have perhaps had a misimpression that they need to give children milk in school or need to give them meat. Schools in the United States and some other places on the globe are now featuring healthy, completely vegan meals for children because they realize that when you don't provide the milk and the meat, kids do much better. They're healthier. They're less likely to come up with infections. I'm thinking about things like ear infections, asthma, and other problems. They are more likely to stay in a healthy weight, and they are less likely to fall asleep in the afternoon. I have to say, when kids get a big, greasy, sugary meal, it's pretty hard for them to stay awake in the afternoon. It's hard for them to concentrate. And on the other hand, when children are fed the most healthful meals, they have the energy and the attention span to carry them all the way through the day. So in conclusion, when we think about our children, they are our most precious resource. And unfortunately, the pressures on parents, on teachers, and on the kids themselves are more intense than they've ever been. There are more and more businesses out there trying to sell unhealthy food, and we can understand why that is. But to the extent that we can put healthy foods on children's plates, if we can have policies in our government, if we can have practices in our schools that every child, no matter how disadvantaged, has the ability to have a healthful meal, every single day, we are going to be investing in the health of the next generation. I thank you so much for helping us all to do that, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Neil Bernard.
Our next esteemed guest speaker is Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He is called the Doctor of Doctors in the USA, and his long-term best-selling books, Eat to Live, Fasting and Eating for Health, and Disease Proof Your Child, are very popular here in Korea. He has influenced many nutritional studies, as well as the vegetarian movement in Korea.
And when we invited Dr. Fuhrman to speak, he said he was very happy to connect with Korean people. Let's now hear from Dr. Joel Fuhrman.
Greetings. Greetings to the beautiful Jeju Island and the honorable governor and officials, the honorable guest, Supreme Master Qinghai, the representative NGOs, parents, teachers, students, and other participants. I'm so happy to be here. I'd like to talk to you today about what an impact nutritional excellence can make for you and people around the world. We can win the war against disease, we can have healthier nations, and a healthier South Korea. Right now, we are spreading, American fast food companies and processed foods are spreading all over the world, and people are becoming more overweight, more obese, having more heart attacks, more diabetes, more strokes, and even more cancer. The good news is that nutritional science has advanced to the point where we can have people not have heart attacks. We can win the war against cancer. We can stop people from having strokes. And as they become more elderly, they don't have to become demented in their later years. And in healthy populations with low medical costs, with a dramatically more successful and happier population without the fear of these diseases. And what we've learned, the secrets that we've learned to protect ourselves have to do with nutrients. And there are two types of nutrients. There are macronutrients, and the macronutrients contain calories, and those are called fat, carbohydrate, and protein. And if you eat too many macronutrients, too much fat, too much carbohydrate, and too much protein, we can become overweight, and we can promote aging and promote heart attacks and strokes. Now, food also contains micronutrients, and micronutrients do not contain calories. They're things like vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals. About 80 years ago, in 1930, scientists first discovered 14 vitamins and about 20 different minerals, and everybody said, wow, this is great. We can help people live longer and help people be much healthier. And what happened between 1935 and 2005 is that heart attack rates went up all over the world, stroke rates went up, and cancer rates went up every single year for 70 years straight. We didn't realize until about 15 years ago that the third type of micronutrients, called phytochemicals, were missing, because the third type of micronutrients, called phytochemicals, are not found in processed foods, and they're not found in animal products, but they're found in fruits and vegetables. So when we thought that we could take processed foods and add a few vitamins and minerals to it, or take a vitamin supplement and think we're getting enough, we were mistaken. Because now we know that every tomato has 1,000 different nutrients in it. Every head of cabbage, every piece of lettuce, every cucumber, every bean or berry or sprout has hundreds, even thousands of nutrients that are so important to protect our precious health. So if we sum up what we've learned in the last 15 years in the field of nutritional science, we've realized that we have to eat a diet that's very high in nutrients, very high in micronutrients, including not just the ones we discovered 70 years ago, but all the new nutrients that we're discovering, all the new findings, that full symphony of nutrients we're finding that exists in natural fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, and seeds. So the first thing I'm saying here, I'm making the point that as a nation, countries all over the world have made tremendous mistakes as far as protecting the health of their population. The mistake we made is we thought that we could eat anything. We could eat white flour. We could eat bread. We could eat pasta. We could eat sugar. We could drink soda all day. It doesn't have to be high in micronutrients. And then we could just take a vitamin pill and be okay. And we found out it doesn't work. We actually have to eat real food. Now, here's where I feel that the people of Jeju and the people of South Korea have a unique opportunity in human history. You have a blessing available to you with a climate to grow healthy foods and farmers that grow fresh fruits and vegetables and a homeland that has availability of peppers and tomatoes and cabbage and lettuce and sesame seeds. You have the availability to eat superfoods, and these superfoods could protect us against chronic, degenerative, and dangerous diseases, preventing medical tragedies. So you have to really eat these foods. So let's talk about this for a minute. Because what we're saying here is that we have to eat a diet high in nutrients and lower in calories. So the first thing I'm saying to you is that animal products like chicken and meat and fish and eggs should not be the major portion of a diet. A healthy diet has to be plant-based. Most of what we eat has to get these phytochemicals from natural plant foods. So pasta, white bread, and white rice does not have in it the phytochemicals and antioxidants. In those foods, there's no significant amount of vitamin E and vitamin K and folate and bioflavonoids and lignans and plant sterols and all these phytochemicals and other carotenoids that protect against disease. In other words, what I'm saying is that processed foods, drinking soda, having sugar, having white rice and pasta and white bread are not high nutrient foods. Those are not going to be the foods to protect your precious health because they're not rich in micronutrients. And likewise, animal products like chicken and meat also do not have the same nutrients. They're also missing the vitamin E, vitamin K, the folate, the bioflavonoids, the lignans, the phytochemicals, the carotenoids, the same nutrients that the processed foods are missing. Worldwide, we're seeing populations get most of their calories from processed foods and animal products, and they're not eating fruits and vegetables. Then what are they missing? Of course, they're missing those antioxidants and the phytochemicals that are present in plant foods. And instead of going to doctors and getting pills to take to lower your blood pressure, and instead of taking medications to take away chest pains, and then having surgeries on people's hearts or procedures to make the blood to flow better, those do not make people live longer. The most powerful intervention, the most powerful medicine, is what you can do in your own home, in your own kitchens, in your own gardens, and what you can do with your own life to protect your precious health. It's not what doctors can do for you with medications and surgeries. What I'm saying today is that we all are in this together. If we all eat a diet, which we call it a plant-based, high-nutrient diet, we look to eat more of the foods that are highest in nutrients. And the foods that are highest in nutrients, including these micronutrients I'm talking about, are green vegetables, Green vegetables win the awards because they have more nutrients per calorie than any other food. In other words, an animal product like a piece of chicken or a piece of meat is not high in nutrients per calorie. It gives you lots of calories, but not lots of micronutrients. Now take a piece of broccoli or some cabbage or kale that also is high in protein, because don't forget, green vegetables are high in protein. That's how come gorillas, hippopotamus, rhinoceros, elephant and giraffes get so big, because they eat green vegetables and eat a lot of protein. And green vegetables are high in protein. But here you have the protein packaged with lots of micronutrients, with the phytochemicals, with the antioxidants, with the things that make the body age slower, and we keep our youthfulness, our vigor, and our good health into later years. And if we look at the healthiest people around the whole world, and the pockets of civilization where people live the longest, it's always the people that eat the most vegetables live the longest. Let's touch on certain types of foods we want to include in our diet for optimal health. Number one is beans. Beans like kidney beans, navy beans, lentils, split peas. Beans have something in them called resistant starch. And resistant starch doesn't raise the glucose level. It's broken down by bacteria in the colon. And the bacteria in the colon change the resistant starch into short-chain fatty acids. And those fatty acids protect us against colon cancer. Beans promote weight loss. They give us energy. They're high in protein. And they protect us against cancer. And they're linked in the scientific studies to an enhancement of longevity in elderly people. Number two, green vegetables. To be on a healthy diet, we have to eat some raw vegetables and some cooked vegetables. We have to eat green vegetables. Lettuce, salad, cucumbers, cabbage, the broccoli family. All those green vegetables have specific compounds that have been shown to protect against breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, and of course heart attacks and strokes. They're longevity-producing foods. If we mix the greens and the beans now with nuts and seeds, right? Almonds, cashews, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, they have almost magical superfoods, protective compounds, that prevent against cardiac arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats. They lower your cholesterol. They make people live longer. They prevent sudden cardiac death. They stabilize the brain. And the healthy fats in seeds and nuts increase the absorption of nutrients from the vegetables and the beans. They also make the protein very complete. So it's not about just eating less fat. It's eating about more of the whole food, healthy fats from nuts and seeds. Now, nuts and seeds contain a special compound called plant sterols. And these sterols have been shown to lower cholesterol level and protect against heart attacks. But they also have a dramatic effect to protect against cancer as well. So what I do is we take some sesame seeds, and maybe we'll mix it with an orange and make a dressing or a dip to put on a salad, right? Or we'll throw some seeds and nuts with some tomato sauce, and we'll make a dressing. We'll make some kind of dressing or a sauce. In other words, using nuts and seeds as part of your dressings and dips is a very important part of excellent nutrition. Last, fresh fruit like oranges and berries and kiwis also contains various compounds, phenols and anthocyanins, special compounds that protect against various cancers and are important for good health. And lastly, of course, whole grains like sorghum, wild rice, brown rice, whole grain rices, whole oats, whole barley. Think whole grains, not processed white flour, not white rice and white flour, but using more whole grains. So we know now that the more vegetables and fruits and beans and nuts and seeds eaten, the longer people live and the lower the risk of heart attacks and strokes and cancers. Now, in addition to preventing these chronic diseases later on in life, it also can help people have better function in school, more attention, more alertness, more protection against diseases like influenza, like the flu. When we have the right kind of nutrients in our body, we're not going to get sick as often. So we have to appeal to our governors and our government, our educators and our teachers and our farmers. We have to all work together as a team to bring healthy food into the schools, to bring healthy plant foods into our homes. We're not talking about adding a little bit of fruits and vegetables to your present diet. We're talking about making fruits and vegetables the major portion of your diet. And then we'll have a healthy nation. And then we'll have a healthy population to live a long life. free of medical tragedies. To conclude, on the beautiful Jeju Islands and many other fertile areas of South Korea, we have a unique opportunity in human history. This is a blessing. We have science and information that can enable us to live better and to live healthier and to live longer than ever before in human history. Let's take advantage of the natural bounty of the land and have one of the healthiest places in the whole world.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Furman.
이런 채식 운동이 우리 지구를 살릴 수 있는 하나의 가장 좋은 방법이라는 걸 오늘 철저히 깨달았기 때문에 저도 적극적으로 참여를 할 것이고, 그리고 참교육 학부모에도 아이들을 위한 어떤 교육 운동 속 그 건강도 마찬가지로 관심이 많기 때문에 이런 그 참교육 학부모회를 통해서 많은 학부모들에게 이것을 교육해 나갈 생각입니다.
참 오길 잘했구나 하는 생각이 들고, 우리 집사람하고 인원에서 앞으로 좀 채식에 대한 거를 중점으로 식단을 강조하고 아마 이끌어갈 생각입니다.
이번 컨퍼런스를 통해서 이제 육식의 기후변화에 그렇게 큰 영향을 미칠 거라고 생각을 못했는데, 그런 면에서 많이 배울 수 있는 기회가 됐었고, 이제 앞으로 뭐 채식이라든지 그런 사항들도 실생활 속에서 실천할 수 있는 기회가 마련된 것 같아요.
오늘 지혜의 말씀을 시청해 주신 가슴 따뜻한 시청자 여러분께 감사드립니다. 내일 계속될 아이 건강과 지속가능 지구촌 제주국제컨퍼런스 4부도 계속 시청해 주십시오. 이제 주목할 뉴스 뒤 예술과 영성이 스프링마스터 텔레비전에서 방송되니 많은 시청 바랍니다. 시청자 여러분께 기쁨과 평화, 풍요로움을 기원합니다.
Thank you for your warm-hearted presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again tomorrow for Part 4 of Children's Health and Sustainable Planet Jeju International Conference. Now please stay tuned to Screen Master Television for a journey through aesthetic realms, coming up next right after noteworthy news. We wish you joy, peace, and prosperity.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.